Democrats release their budget-cutting plan. Republicans don't like it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Republican leaders in Congress are rejecting a $3 trillion deficit reduction plan from Democrats, and it all comes down to taxes. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more on this. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, Jeremy.
So I have to say, not a terribly surprising development given the recent history in Washington. Is there anything different this time?
Well, Jeremy, they're getting a little bit more into the nitty-gritty, a little more into the details here. Republicans say they really don't like the fact that the Democrats call for more than $1 trillion in tax increases over 10 years. House Speaker John Boehner says that's not a reasonable number. The Democrats' plan is an almost even split of spending cuts and tax increases. But Boehner says the Democrats don't cut entitlement programs enough, programs like Medicare and Medicaid. Boehner says most of the budget cuts should come from benefit programs, and he says defense spending should not be cut more.
And of course, this is all about this super committee and trying to avoid a round of automatic cuts. They have a deal that has to be made in just a matter of weeks. What do Boehner's comments here do to the chances of a deal in the super committee?
Yeah, we are getting down to the wire. But Boehner is hardly giving up on the super committee. He's emphasizing that he's, quote, committed to getting to an outcome that will eventually pass in Congress. Republicans do have a counteroffer, and their plan would cut about $2 trillion from the deficit. It would result in about $40 billion in tax increases because of a change in the way tax brackets are calculated. The super committee only has until November 23rd to come up with a plan to cut at least $1.2 trillion. From the deficit over the next 10 years. Jeremy, I have to tell you, though, that after all this to-ing and fro-ing between the parties, the two sides, the credit rating agencies say for the U.S. to avoid another downgrade, the super committee would have to cut about $4 trillion.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
Floodwaters have reached record highs in the Thai capital of Bangkok. There are concerns about what the flooding could do to the heart of the city, which is filled with historic landmarks. And there are also worries about what the flooding is already doing to manufacturers of electronics and auto parts. Here's what the BBC's Mu Tar Tet told Marketplace this morning.
At the moment, there is a 12 district already flooded, intensely flooded in the Thailand, and also in the Bangkok and then around the Bangkok area, there's 20 industrial parks are already flooded.
Tomorrow could be the worst day yet, thanks to higher than normal tides in the Gulf of Thailand. Now to New York City, a little sliver of it in the middle of the East River called Roosevelt Island. The city wants to turn the island into a science hub, and today is the deadline to submit proposals for a new school of applied sciences. Sally Herships has more.
Build it and they will come. Engineers, entrepreneurs, and jobs, that is. At least that's what New York City is counting on. The city is offering free land in return for building a school of applied sciences. Think tech and engineering. Colleges like Stanford, Cornell, and the University of Chicago are applying. Here's Kellogg professor Shane Greenstein.
I don't think it's an accident. We're not observing broke state schools, you know, with funding problems in on these biddings.
Building an entire school for a university is pricey. Stanford estimates the cost at $2.5 billion. But a New York City campus focused on high tech could mean more research dollars. Doug Lynch is vice dean of the University of Pennsylvania's Graduate School of Education.
Having a foothold in New York City for any institution, particularly given the incentives that the administration is providing, is quite attractive.
No matter who wins, Lynch says trading away New York City's valuable real estate is risky. Don't forget, universities are tax-free. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
This weekend, clocks in Europe will fall back. It'll be another week for us here in the U.S. But in Russia, there will be no time change this year. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke explains.
Moscow's long winter is only just starting, but the sun has been up less than 4 hours as the Kremlin clock strikes midday. By the end of the year, it will be 10 o'clock before Muscovites see the sun. That's because this year, Russia will not fall back to wintertime. The final part of President Dmitry Medvedev's time reforms puts Russia forever on summer time. The stress of changing the clocks forward and back is bad for our bodies, Medvedev says. And that's not to mention the poor cows, he jokes, who don't know when they are going to get milked. If the cows are confused, they can blame the farmers. Andrei Panin is a geography professor at Moscow State University. He says when the world's time zones were agreed on in 1884, they were designed for life on the farm. He says that these days, permanent summertime matches most Russians' daily schedule.
About half of territory of Russia and about two-thirds or three-quarters of population will live now through the whole year between 1 to 2 hours ahead of solar time, which fits well, from my point, to the lifestyle of an industrial society.
But being an hour further ahead of the US and Europe might not be so good for business. Kirill Yankovsky is an equities trader at UniCredit Bank in London. He says it creates problems for Russia's stock market.
I think it's not only separate, but it just gives an extra reason for people to focus on London.
Worse, Yankovsky says, Russian trading will be even further out of step with New York. Right now, there's a 1.5 hour overlap, but an hour of that will be lost when New York switches to wintertime. There's a danger that Medvedev moving Russia out of sync with the West could leave Russian traders and markets in the dark. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The EU has spoken, and at least for now, Greece is back from the brink. But some of its citizens are still going to vote with their feet.
I know a lot of people, young adults such as myself, are actually going to colleges outside of Greece.
I'm Bob Moon. The Exodus, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.